Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Almost within a month, my face was full of acne. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, my face would feel like it was on fire.
I remember being, like, 14, 15, and I was using the full-on, like, Band-Aid, hydrocolloid, and cutting them up to work on my face. When I first tried Peace Out, noticing, like, the salicylic acid, and I thought that was so cool. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. Please welcome Enrico Frezza. Thank you so much for joining me on Loud Talk today.
Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you all. My name is Enrico Frezza, as mentioned, and I'm the founder and CEO of Piso Skincare,
which is honestly one of my favorite brands ever since I was young, like one of my favorite acne brands. I think it's truly one of those brands that kind of made acne feel a little bit less serious in a way, if I can put it that way, if that makes sense. Because, and we'll get into the brand and everything like that, but for anyone who's not familiar, and you can probably go in more detail about this too later on, but Peace Out really focused on acne care, but specifically, you started off with pimple patches, right?
Yeah, correct. Back then there was COSRX and 3M, like the tapes that just were color patches by the time we launched, but there was nobody that has infused active ingredients with the pimple patches. Nobody knew even to mix, how to mix any ingredients with hydrocolloid. So that's what took us about a year from the interception to go into launching the product with active ingredients. And that's why we have a patent that protects the active ingredients of salicylic acid into the hydrocolloid.
Wow. That's so cool, because I remember being like, I don't even know, 14, 15. And I was using like, not even hydrocolloid patches, like the full on like Band-Aid hydrocolloid and cutting them up to work on my face. And then I remember when I first tried Peace Out, noticing like the salicylic acid, and I thought that was so cool. So I want to dive into like what kind of inspired you to even start with Peace Out. So can we talk a little bit about like your own skin journey? And I know you struggled with your skin in the past as a teenager. So when did you start struggling with acne, and how did that make you feel at the time?
So it's started around 13, and it was really fast. Like, I had no acne and not really oily skin at all. It was pretty normal and clear. And then almost within a month, my face was full of acne. And I used to be very extroverted as a kid, and I became really introverted really quickly because of my acne made me feel extremely insecure. And back then, I'm from Milan, Italy, and I don't remember anybody having acne like mine, not in my family, not in my group of friends, not in my school. So it was almost seen as like, hey, what is wrong with you? And that pretty personally affected me. So I tried, you know, everything over the counter, Clarizil, Topexan, and like Italian brands that claimed to treat acne, but it was really just drying the hell out of your skin. And that didn't work for me. It just made me more inflamed, and my acne just kept not resolving. Then I went to take antibiotics. That didn't work. So eventually I took Accutane, which was kind of the last resort. And it was not a great experience in the first 3 or 4 months, like I would wake up in the middle of the night, like my face would feel like it was on fire. I would bleed out of my nose like every other
Wow.
day, just because it dries you so much. And at that point, I was living in England. I was in boarding school. So this was a 16. So I started 13. I kind of tried for a year, like over the counter, then went to antibiotics at 14. And then at 15, I was like, nothing is working. And at 16, that's where I started Accutane. And then I was on it for 6 months, and that did clear out my acne. But then
Wow.
after about a year from stopping Accutane, my oil production kind of started back again. And I kept getting breakouts, not as bad, but it was, even if it was just 5 or 6 pimples, it made me insane. Like at the time, I was with Julian, my husband, already we're dating. And I remember like when I would have a bad breakout, and he used to be in the entertainment industry. So he had a lot of events. And like, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to go. Like I have this pimple. And then I remember like talking to people, I'm like, I feel like they're looking at my pimples and not looking at
Right.
my eyes. It was just very tough. And I know for everybody it's different. Like I spoke to people that literally doesn't affect them at all with their self-esteem. And that's where it really came peace out about, well, the idea came because I had a bad breakout, and this was back in 2014. And I went to a drugstore. I tried everything over the counter for acne, and benzoyl peroxide spot treatment, sulfur, salicylic acid spot treatment. Nothing worked overnight, like anything, especially for the bump, because I'm like, at least if I can get rid of the bump, I can cover up.
Yes.
So I went to the wound care section, and on the wound care section, I stumbled upon hydrocolloid, and I remember the packaging says absorbs fluids and protects against external bacteria. I'm like, okay, I mean, if it absorbs the fluids from a wound, maybe it absorbs the fluids from a pimple.
Yeah.
I did have a 5% salicylic acid pill, and then I put a patch on. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just wanted the pimples gone.
This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, 9to5 Skin, which also happens to be my beauty brand. And let me tell you, one of the biggest misconceptions about acne is that it is a hygiene issue. And you'd think when 80% of the world struggles with it, this would be more talked about. But the issue is the beauty industry has trained our minds into frantically buying every single product we see online with these crazy, unrealistic before and afters that tell you this one product will completely clear your skin. And not only that, it's going to take away every pore, every scar, and transform your skin in a matter of a few weeks. I don't view skincare like that. I was sick of seeing real skin not being represented, and I was like, you know what? Let me just do it myself. This is 9to5 Skin, where we only show real skin, real results, because skincare at the end of the day is a supplement. It should be helping your skin along the process, no matter where your skin's at in the journey. I struggle with hormonal acne, and these are products that just help me in my day to day, make me feel good in my skin. And before you say anything, this is not just another influencer founded brand. My name is Lavinia, and I'm a fully 100% self funded brand. We're doing things a little bit differently over here, non-traditional, and bringing a little bit of my engineered solution to skincare, like Spray Away. It's our best calming yet hydrating mist. I wanted to pull together my experience as a content creator for the past 10 years, where I've tested out hundreds, if not thousands, of products with my background in chemical engineering and business to create a brand that doesn't make you feel like something immediately needs to be fixed. I wanted 9to5 to be that brand. When you pick up the products, you instantly feel more confident in your skin, because hating your skin to healing is not possible. We need to focus on skincare that promotes progress over perfection. Of course, we're keeping our products affordable and accessible. And from one acne prone girly to another, remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today and shop 9to5 at 9to5skin.com. Again, you can find all of our products at 9to5skin.com, and our 4-piece bundle is $20 off. You heard me, whole $20 off. You can get the full 4-piece set.
And I woke up and the pimples were sucked out into the patch. A layer of my skin was gone. And that was right before a wedding. So that was not fun, because I had to wear a hat because my skin was like a snake. I literally had like
Right.
a square patch on my
Yeah, because you like burned the one layer of your skin
skin.
off.
Yeah. So, but then I was like, okay, this is the only thing that's ever made my pimples flat overnight. But how do you address? I was like, okay, but acne and breakouts is not just absorbing the fluid or the pus or the infection, but it's really like how do you address the acne-causing bacteria, the redness, the inflammation, everything that surrounds a breakout. And that's what I thought about. I will start applying ingredients into the skin, and I will start applying aloe vera, salicylic acid, that's right, vitamin C, different ingredients, and I will put the the patch on. Of course, not a 5% static CCAST. That was trying with lower percentages at that point. But every time I would put them on and then put a pimple patch, that pimple patch would absorb the ingredients. So it wouldn't
Right.
help. So I was like, okay, so I need to infuse them. And I contacted 75 manufacturers in the US that deal with hydrogel colloids. And nobody's ever infused anything with hydrogel colloid back then. This was in end of 2014, early 15.
Wow.
And I almost gave up because I was like, the only way to make this work, it would be to work with a pharmaceutical company and pay them, like they were quoting me like $1 million of R&D to try to do this. So I started to go through patents and I found out that somebody was able to mix alginates with hydrogel colloids. So I was like, oh, okay, so you mix alginates, maybe you can mix my ingredients. And I looked up the inventor, and the inventor of the manufacturer of hydrogel colloid, and I was living in LA, and the manufacturer was 45 minutes from LA. So I had a meeting and it was like, well, we never tried, but we can try. And then it took about a year because, like, for example, when we started with vitamin C, the vitamin C would burn at that melting point, so it turned brown. Then we tried like different types of sulfur, benzoyl peroxide, and those affected the adhesion and the absorption. So it took a bit of like R&D and small batches to be able to finalize the formula to the one that we eventually patented and launched with. But that's where I was like, okay, now I have the product that I feel it's the best spot treatment in the marketplace. And that's when I started working with my husband on the brand, because back then in this was in 16 when we really started approaching Sephora to launch the brand. And there was only like very clinical, I'm not gonna name the brands, but you know, very clinical, old school, very doctor driven. And I felt like
Totally.
a lot of these brands were really heavily on almost make you feel like if you're lacking, you're ugly and you need to take up products to feel better.
Yes. Absolutely. And not just, you make such a great point with that. It's not just like, here's a product like to make you feel better, but it's, I think when you struggle with acne and you go to find those solutions, you start to feel like you yourself are like a problem that needs fixing. Like I remember when I was really deep in my journey, every doctor, dermatologist I'd go see, even people working in like, different cosmetic spaces, they'd see me and it'd be instantly like, you need this product to fix yourself, and it already having acne is such an like emotional and mental struggle. But to feel that you need to like, buy certain products to fix yourself and as you mentioned, like make yourself look better, it just adds to that. So yeah, it was just such a different space back then. So I'm curious, like with Peace Out, obviously, I think the brand is so different from that. So like what was like that journey of breaking into the skincare space with such a different perspective on acne healing?
So what I wanted was basically I was trying to put myself in the shoes of a consumer, and I'm like, if I'm buying an acne product, or if I'm struggling with acne, how do I want the brand to be perceived? And it was about being fun and less scary. So that's where we included the emojis, the name, like all of it's fun and colorful, but at the same time, very clinical. So like all the products deliver on the results. We have clinical on all of our OTC SKUs. They're pharmaceuticals, so there are OTC SKUs that are recognized by the FDA as an acne treatment. So not so like when you compare it to other pimple patch in the marketplace, they tend to have either just hydrogel colloid or non-OTC level. So that means 0.5 or below. And that recognizes it's like kind of like SPF. In order to have SPF and claim an SPF filter, you need to have SPF filters. If you don't have SPF filters, you cannot claim SPF. It's the same thing for acne. If you don't have acne ingredients or a certain percentage, you can't claim that it's an acne treatment. So I really wanted to deliver on the results and at the same time also improve. So for example, with the acne serum or an acne moisturizer, and this is after the launch, obviously, but I felt like all these products just tend to be really drying and irritating. I'm like, how can we make them really work, but at the same time soothing and hydrating so it doesn't irritate somebody that is already struggling with their skin?
Absolutely. And yeah, you make such a great like the branding, it's honestly brilliant. And I think so much can be attributed to the fact that you mentioned you put yourself in the shoes of the consumer, but you were once that consumer looking for an acne solution. So I think that's a huge difference. And I think growing up, like when I, for example, would go to Sephora like and buy makeup, that was so much fun because all the makeup's like different colors and you can have fun with it. But then with skincare, it wasn't fun because for me it just felt like I need to do this to get, clear skin because I'm struggling with it. So I think with Peace Out, it makes skincare fun again, even though it helps with things like acne, which can already be so hard on the skin. Related to that, I want to ask you, now where you are, what's something that you wish you could go back to tell your teenage self that was struggling with their skin at the time.
I think, back then, I feel like now, in a way, it's a double-edged sword. Like, there is a lot of acne positive movement, and I feel acne way more accepted now than it was back then. Back then, when I grew up, there was MySpace. There was nothing that I could, as I mentioned, I had no friends and nobody that I knew that I had acne like I did. And having social media, in a way, it's good because it allows you to see other people and their journey and share experiences and share either the mental struggle or what works for them might not work for you. But there is, like, first of all, hope that it will get better. And secondly, that you shouldn't be so ashamed of it. Like, I shouldn't have let it affect me that much. At the same time, now that you also have, like, so many beauty filters and so much fakeness on social, it gives even people with clear skin unrealistic expectations on your glass skin and how perfect you need to be. And then, so it's a little bit of, like, I don't know, in a way, maybe it would have helped, maybe not. I wish it didn't affect me to become an introvert as much because it took me a very long time. I think until probably I was 26, 27, I started getting out of being an introvert. And that was still from the journey with acne. And then, as I mentioned, like, I still was getting breakouts. And every time I got them, I didn't want to leave the house. So I wish I didn't missed out on a lot of experiences and things due to be so self-obsessed with the acne.
Absolutely. I always, even with my own journey, like I've realized how much it affected me mentally. And one of the biggest drivers behind, why I even started posting about it on social media and stuff is because I didn't want to like look back on my life and be like, look how many years I kind of hid because of my skin. And I always say, your insecurities don't define you unless you let them. But you're
Yeah.
so right with the double-edged sword. I guess I haven't, even though I post on social media, I think the skin positivity space has expanded so much, but you're so right that so has the unrealistic beauty standards and the fakeness. Like it's kind of both growing
Right.
together and
Yeah.
they're polar opposites. But I'm curious, like, the skin positivity space has grown online so much in these last few years, but obviously, that looked very different 10 years ago when Peace Out would have launched. So, what were some of the challenges of maybe bringing a new vision to acne solutions? Because I even know growing up, I'd watch like acne adverts from more of those like clinical
Yeah.
brands at the time. And it would be like they had really, really bad acne. And then all of a sudden, they had like glass perfect skin. And it just felt so unrealistic. And it never felt like true, authentic skin. So, what was kind of different, and what were the challenges of like breaking through that market with this new perspective?
Yeah, so I mean, we're actually 17, so we just celebrated 8 years on July 4th, but still in 17, there was nothing like it. I feel a little bit of the inspiration on the fun aspect and the brand was based on Glossier.
Okay.
Launched on fifth in 2015, I believe. And I fell in love with that brand because I liked how, even on their copy, like, they used to have this, I don't know if they still do it, but it used to be like this thing where they would start with, like, with something really fun and then clinical, kind of clinical, and then fun again. So I like the way they talk to their consumer and the heavy focus on the community. I think they were the first brand in skincare, maybe not in makeup, as I'm not well versed, especially back then, that I felt really doubled down on building a community of people, not based on a struggle or anything. I feel it was more based on the lifestyle and the coolness factor. But I like that. And that's what I wanted within Peace Out is that I didn't have a community when I grew up. I didn't have anybody to look up to on, like, their acne journey and talk about my mental struggle. I remember, like, talking to my family about it, and they were like, "It'll go away. Just stop worrying about it." I'm like, "Yeah, thanks." So I wanted to create an acne champs community where people could communicate, share their struggle with it, share their success with it, and really just build a positive movement. And I believe we're the first acne brand to really start that in the acne positivity. And then over the years, I think as the category grew, obviously more players came into place, and then they all tried to piggyback on that. And I think there are some great other acne brands. I do feel like the authenticity, though, it's very clear when it's not there, especially for acne brands or brands that focus on acne SKUs. Like, if there is no authenticity, I feel like the consumer knows it.
Absolutely. And I think especially as you mentioned, like when it comes to acne, like you have it right there where you can choose the route of being so authentic. But I think, we've all kind of grown up in this space where it's something that we think we should hide. And I think that's kind of how, like, older brands have kind of seen it as well, just hiding that or only showing the acne or the real skin in the before photos. And then that sets like that standard up for people. As an acne focused brand founder yourself, how do you find that balance between providing skincare solutions that will help people with their acne and quote unquote like fix their skin over time versus, making a consumer feel that pressure of having to fix themselves in order to feel worthy?
Yeah, I think it's not the same for everyone, to be honest. Like, I feel like I wanted my acne gone. And I felt like it was a, I did not want it. And
I
I,
don't think anyone their acne,
right,
but
that's
yeah.
true. And I think it affects people differently. Some people have higher self-esteem or they don't let it affect it as much, versus some others really affects them. So I feel as a brand, I wanted to provide solutions for people like me that really wanted it gone. And it's not even seen it as something to fix, but it's something that for their to help their self-esteem and to help have a better life and not having to do or deal with what I went through, because I wouldn't want anybody to, be a happy self and be an extrovert and then be an introvert and not like close out yourself to the world and miss out some of the best years of your life. At the same time, I think too, the other aspect is to just provide solution as needed that people use. So if you like, you have a couple of bad breakouts, but you also have majorly acne, but you just really want to target those, we have solutions for that. If you really want to target, like try to get rid of breakouts or prevent it, we have solutions for that. If you want to just control it and have a healthy skin for better repair, we have solutions for that. So I feel like as a brand now, we're kind of expanded enough to retarget the different needs within the acne consumer.
Totally. No, that's a really great answer. And I think, like you mentioned, like no one, wants to have acne, but we're all looking for that solution. But when we kind of remove the connection between our skin and our self-worth, and we can look for a skincare solution to help our skin, but do it in a way that still makes us feel confident along the journey, I think that's really important. And it's funny, you mentioned that with, the whole thing of not wanting acne, because I know the amount of people that have commented on my social media before who clearly have never struggled with acne in their life, because I'll get comments that, like I've had people comment on my stuff telling me that I make myself have acne on purpose or like something like that, which I think is crazy because like if you've never dealt with it, I would never wish acne upon anyone, but it's also sometimes in life, you have to make the most of what you have. And yeah, I really appreciate the approach Peace Out took with, it just feels like when you use the products and work with the products, as I mentioned before, it feels more fun and enjoyable versus like, okay, like I'm having to use these every day, more like a chore to fix my skin. So that's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah, and I feel, and it's also a bit of self-care and
Yes.
for your skin. I do, admire like creators like you that are able to post, because I see those comments, like even when we read viral videos and there is just a lot of nasty keyboard warriors, call them. And even though it's virtual and most of them don't even have a real profile or you can't, it still bothers me to see those messages. And sometimes I do ask the team to address some when I think they're really rude, especially on part of our community, and to ask us to try to educate. But even when I post like a couple of, now I get random breakouts, like I just had one year, like it just happens. But I'm 34, so I've been off by the time I want to break out anymore. But like even when I post one like using the acne dot on my forehead on one pimple, I get comments like, "You're using too many products. You're clogging your skin. You need to drink water. You need to have a clear that." I'm like,
Every unsolicited
"Oh my
advice
God!" I'm
possible.
like, "Shut up!" Like
I
what?
know.
Like and I want a response. So Andrina goes like, "Just ignore it."
Yeah, you have to, because it's like it will never stop and the unsolicited advice goes crazy. And it's always from people who, I've always noticed this, like people who have genuinely struggled with acne will usually comment saying like, "Hey, this is what worked for me. Like, curious if you've tried it." Like it comes from more of like, an endearing and loving aspect. But then the people who are like, "Oh, this girl clearly doesn't drink water," or my favorites are like, "It's because your diet, like you just probably eat like terrible," or this, like it's always these random things. And
Yeah, or the push for being on medications, like they push like you need to get an Accutane or you need antibiotics or you need these, like who are you to tell what you need?
I fully agree, and I always speak on this because I always get the comments that are like, just take Accutane, then your skin will be clear. And I sometimes respond to them, but more from an educational standpoint, to be like, what if I was on Accutane right now? Like, if I was even on the medication right now, there's still a period where you have to, it's gonna take a few months for it to start working. Then you're gonna still maybe have some scarring. Then you might actually start breaking out again.
Yeah,
So I
that's
always
what
find it exactly. It happens to so many people. So I find it so interesting when people think like it's a, and also just get on Accutane is such a like easy statement to put out when to even get on a prescription like that, you have to go through blood work. You have to get like the doctor approval, all of that. And I even get it now with people who are like, all you need is a retinoid cream, girl. And I'm like, I'm literally on a prescription retinoid. I'm on the journey. And I think, again, this is what social media and I think beauty has kind of conditioned us to think that these unrealistic before and afters that are virtually overnight are realistic. And when we put it into practice, like it's all about that progress over perfection. Like you could be on a skincare product or a medication or an antibiotic, whatever, that actually does work for you, but it's going to take time. Or I respond to one actually the other day, which I found this such an interesting take. Someone said to me, I just need to focus on like regulating my hormones and like helping my gut health. And I commented, I'm like, if I'm actively doing this, but you can't do that overnight. Like it takes time to figure out like what your body needs. And then they actually did respond. They're like, oh, sorry, like you are right about that. But I always think it comes from people who don't really haven't
No,
struggled with it before. And this is actually the perfect segue because I don't know if you've seen the discourse online lately, kind of regarding the uproar of like pimple patches. And I don't know who it was, but a girl basically came online. She said, she started talking about how, and sometimes these are videos that, should stay in the drafts. But she basically was calling people out for wearing pimple patches and saying that it's not trendy, it's not cute, and it looks really unprofessional. And for me, as someone who struggles with acne and I use pimple patches. Like pimple patches for me are an essential part of my everyday routine, especially because my skin, I like one thing about me is I bruise really easily and I bleed really easily. So if I ever get like some bad cystic acne, like I need a pimple patch for even just to like get out of the house so that my skin's not bleeding.
Exposing, yeah.
So for me, I don't see them as something that's like now just trendy or as an accessory. I see them as an essential, but it is fun to have some different pimple patch options that makes you feel a little better in your skin while wearing them. So, what are your thoughts on this whole discourse online as a founder of a pimple patch brand?
Well, I can't break the news yet, but let's just say that we're gonna be expanding into the more expressive pimple patches.
Okay.
I feel the time has come as a brand. We started with, the brand with emojis and being fun and everything else. And I feel that the younger generation, not so much mine, is definitely more prone to use them all and be more expressive about using patches versus like more discreet. I think it's stupid for anybody, but anybody has comments about everything, like any ticket in a whole beauty perspective is like, if you're a woman and you're getting gray hair, you have to dye it.
Right.
So you go, but men don't. And
Yeah.
if you have wrinkles, you need to get Botox. And if you have volume loss, you need to do fillers. That is just
It
so
never ends.
never ends. And I there's always people that like I see people that they post videos of like this is Mia 58 or without Botox or anything, then you get comments, you look 80, like and all
Right.
beautiful. So I think it never ends in a way. And it's like it's just there is just some people that say stupid stuff and you can't fix.
Totally.
And that's with,
Yeah.
I mean, not in just beauty. I mean, just look online. There's a lot of dumb comments. So.
Right. Yeah, totally. I remember seeing this video specifically on the pimple patches and addressing them as unprofessional. And I think it really triggered something in me because actually when my acne was at its like peak worst, which was after I came off hormonal birth control, that's when like my full skin flared up. I was working a corporate job at the time as a project engineer, so very professional environment, like corporate outfits, all that. And I think of myself as someone who's like put together. I love fashion, I love looking, dressed up and everything. But I remember when I was struggling with my acne at that point, there was that pressure of like, are people not taking me seriously because of my skin? Or does this give off that I'm unprofessional because I have acne, even though my acne and my qualifications as an engineer had nothing to do with each other? But again, perception is sometimes, people will judge you from the outside. And at that time, because my cystic acne got so bad, as I mentioned, pimple patches were something I needed to use every day because it was either I go to work and my skin's bleeding out, or I use a pimple patch that's discreet. And I would post videos about it, and I remember getting comments of people telling me like it looks unprofessional for me to be wearing. And they weren't like colorful patches, they were literally the most transparent patches I could
Yeah,
find.
I think that's dumb. But I do have a question for you. Do you feel
Yeah.
fun pimple patches will be looked as unprofessional? Like, I'm trying to think, like, definitely not, like, in my company, I wouldn't care, obviously. But, like, if you work in finance or very corporate type of environment, like wearing a star, wearing whatever is on your face and is colorful and stuff, do you feel like that will be seen as unprofessional?
It's an interesting question. I always love when I have guests on the podcast and then they turn questions on me. I love it so much. This is all what this podcast is about. But this was what a lot of the discourse in this one girl's video was about, how, you know, only this like colorful star patches are unprofessional, but the clear ones aren't. Or the whole issue with this girl's video in the first place was that she said that all pimple patches are unprofessional and they shouldn't be worn. And it was more of, she was looking at them as a trend rather than the actual function of why people use them. I definitely think there's, you know, certain environments, and it depends on like each person. Also, an age thing too, I think, as you mentioned, like generationally, you know, like
Yeah.
younger Gen Z are more likely to wear them. I don't think, I'm trying to think, like, I think when I was working my engineering job, I think if I showed up with like a star patch on, I don't think anyone really would have cared. If anything, I probably just wouldn't have worn it to draw like more attention to my face, if that made sense. And at
Yeah.
the time, like sometimes I'd go to work wearing like 10 clear patches just because of the state that my skin was in at the time. But I remember like I'd get a lot of comments of people asking me how I deal with the thought of being viewed as unprofessional. And I even did like an interview about that at the time, just because I didn't realize how many adults struggle with that professional aspect of it. Because I think, you know, you see a teenager with acne, and we all know teenagers struggle with acne, it's just part of it. But I think once you reach those adult years, and I was 21 at the time working in a corporate job, so, you know, there was that feeling of like, is everyone looking at me as a teenager, as a kid struggling with my skin? And then on the flip side of it too, because I was also working as a content creator in the beauty space, it also made me feel inferior in my own industry. I was like, you know, can someone like me with my skin still be in the beauty space and know about skincare? And it wasn't that I knew what I knew about skincare and about the industry, but it was more that outside projection being put on me. Like, if you do know this much about skincare, why can't you fix your skin? Even though my skin issues were related to my birth control story at the time. But I kind of went on a tangent there. But what I wanted to really say about that is, I think, you know, there's patches and patches. I think in certain environments, maybe the more colorful, extravagant ones would be looked at by some people unprofessionally. And I think it'd be more, not even unprofessional, but more just like when you have something on your face, like people notice it in the same way
Yeah, I think
that,
even a piercing. I mean, if you have like
yeah, like I think it kind of
nose
goes,
piercings and like eyebrow, tongue, lips, and you're, I don't know, it's just an example, like, and you're working in a law firm and try to, yeah. I mean, that will, as a client, like you go in, I'm like, what's going
totally.
on?
And again, it depends on your clientele, right? Like when
True,
I
yeah,
was
for
working my
sure.
engineering job, like most of the people that I had meetings with or were presenting to were like 50, 60, like definitely older and more of like, I was working in an oil and gas job, like very traditional,
Not.
very, you know, so it was, I think it would have been a bit different there. But at the same time, you know, if someone asked like, what's that on your face? Like, cause even when I'd wear the clear ones, I had someone once ask me why I'm wearing like a sticker on my face. And it was just the clear, like transparent. And I literally said, oh, it's like a pimple patch because, you know, they help my skin.
Yeah. Do you have a? It's kind of because I do it. Do you replace them once, like if you're out and they get past, like, you know, when
Oh,
they
yeah.
you do replace them.
I do. And that's sometimes what I do like about wearing the colorful, like opaque ones, you know, especially like on no makeup days, or if I'm out and about and not, you know, doing something more casual. Sometimes I
Yeah.
do like wearing those because then you can't see what's underneath them. Whereas with the really transparent ones, you do, you know. So I do like that about them. But I think like, yeah, time and place for them. But I think overall, like we have to remember the original function of them was literally to just help in situations where like it's either that or what, wearing like a huge band-aid on your face, right? In some
Right. Oh,
situations. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I think it's so fascinating, like, you know, we know Peace Out and the brand now, but like I really want to know more about your journey leading up to that. So tell me a bit about your upbringing. I know you mentioned like, you know, grew up in Milan, Italy and stuff, but as a kid even, did you have more of that entrepreneurial mindset like from a young age?
Yes. So my dad's an entrepreneur, so I think I got it
Mm.
from him. And he always liked to think outside of the box and invent things and take things apart and put them back together, even him as a kid. I
Okay.
didn't have the skill set of like the engineering part, but I always had these random ideas of like what. So, for example, I was 12 at the time and I was getting my certification of scuba diving and I was scuba diving. And I was like, what if there is a strong current and I get stuck? And I lose the group, and you can't go up quickly and you lose oxygen. You can't go up quickly because you go into decompression and goes blood into your brain and you die, unless you're gonna change in a, which back then, like you would have to be a specific boat that has that decompression room, etc. So I was like, how do I communicate to say where I am? And my dad back then was one of the first people that was working with GPS systems, so they would send signals, right? So I was like, it would be cool if you have something on you that you could deploy and it would go to the surface, stay attached to you, and then send signals to the Coast Guard telling you where you are, do you need an emergency so somebody can rescue you. So I told the idea to my dad. He goes, well, that's a good idea. So we actually patented,
Oh
developed
my
it.
gosh.
Yeah, that
How
was
old were you at the time?
12.
Wow,
But
so cool.
I didn't know the technical, like I didn't
Right.
know how to do it. It was just the idea.
Well,
The
I
idea
think.
was 10% of the thing. And then my dad was the rest and helped with the patent. Then we actually sold the patent off to a company in Europe. So that was
Wow.
the first business. And then I also had a failed business on my first year of college. I noticed, so I was Italian, I went to University of Miami, and I noticed that all the people from different countries were hanging out together, right? So it was like Italians were hanging out with Italians, French people were hanging out with French, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was a little bit of potential language barrier at the beginning, and also like just people from your same countries, similar interests, sports, music, whatever it is. So I was like, it would be cool to have a social network app that could geolocate people based on the nationality. So let's say like you're traveling to Hong Kong and you want to meet, and or you move to Hong Kong and you don't speak the language, you don't speak English, and you want to meet other Italians, you could see where they're hanging out, or you could meet and find friends. And that was really the beginning of geolocation apps. The only thing that I knew back then, I think, was Grindr that was out, as a gay dating app that would geolocate other people. So I was like, okay, the technology is there, so you could use it. So I did develop the apps and launched it, but I was so inexperienced with like the marketing of it and the raising money and the whole thing. So that kind of like did not go through. So that was also, not every story is a success.
But what's your opinion on that? Because I feel like within every, let's say, failed business, there's also so much good that can come out of that, and learning. Did you kind of find that or?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a lot of learnings on how to work with agencies and just learning how to structure your mind to launch a business. I think that really helped me. I just felt it was way too premature. I mean, I was 19. There are some people that do business now at 19 and 20 and they launch, tech companies and stuff. I just did not have the right structure in my mindset to do it at the time. But I think that really sped up my learning process. And I think I stopped it before, I would say, you went too deep into wasting too much money in it. So as important as, I mean, sometimes it might work out, but I could not take that type of risk financially. So then after that, I went into cybersecurity with my family's business. But then, when the peace out idea came about, I remember talking to my ex-boyfriend at the time. It was like, that's a dumb idea. I talked, I think, to my best friend, somebody else. They were like, bought stickers for your face. There was really nothing. There was not even COSRX back then. It was only in Korea back then, which I didn't know. I knew later, but there were those acrylic, the ones that don't absorb. They're kind of just, I don't know what to call it. They're stickers that would allow for the ingredients to just stay there on the skin and be a little bit absorbed, but it wouldn't absorb. So it was really just revolutionary, I would say, at that time. Yeah, nobody believed in it. And even when we, approached Sephora, and I feel like Sephora was really the, I was like, okay, this is real. Like they love it. Not just the product, but the brand and everything else. And then even after we had the yes on Sephora, we had the PO in place. I tried to raise money just to cover the production costs, and nobody believed the idea. We couldn't even raise $200,000 to produce it. So at that point, I asked my dad for an investment. Thankfully, Yeah, the money to cover the manufacturing costs, and we launched the brand with $5,000 in account.
Wow.
And we're
Wow,
like,
I think that really goes to show like how new the idea was because no one really believed in it. Like
yeah.
that's how new it was, but sometimes I feel like that's when the best ideas come out because it is so unique and new. But what made you hold on to it so strongly with all this outside, advice or pressure telling you to not move forward with it?
I would say two things. One, because, well, I guess it's a combined answer, because I truly believe it was the best spot streaming in the marketplace, and there was nothing like it. And I knew there was a demand for it as somebody that does breakouts and wanted on. So it was a risk. It was just something that my gut just like, you need to do this, just do it, whatever it takes.
What was so obviously you struggled, with acne more as a teen, and then you've talked about these other businesses you had, but going from like cybersecurity and stuff like this, like what obviously that's very a big shift to
Yeah.
skincare. When this idea came to you, like what made you, I mean, you just mentioned like the gut feeling of something you had to do, but was that kind of ever in your plan to become a skincare founder, or what made you pivot into the skincare space like that?
No, I mean, I was obviously already back then pretty versed into a really good skincare routine. I remember using, like, this was in 2014, already using K-beauty products and really like having my 7 to 10 step routine. No, I would have never thought that the skincare would be something that I will get into. But once the idea came through, I just had to follow through with it, and I wanted to do it. And having the acne and having the passion for skincare, it just made all sense. And then having Sephora as a partner, which I think as a retailer is the best brand building partner that you can have, it really helped us, because both, I came for cybersecurity, my husband came from entertainment marketing, so not beauty related. So I had zero experience in, and that really helped us to incubate within them and their learnings, and to whatever the extent is, because the brand was so new in the space. And I remember even like, Sephora was asking for before and after, and nobody has ever done before and afters until we launched them at Sephora in acne. I don't even believe in age define or anything else. And I was
I didn't
pushing,
know that.
I was pushing back, because I was like, we're not such a clinical brand. I don't want to be a name and feel like, it's in a derm office. But so we were able to like integrate it into an emoji shape and make it a real skin, not so clinical BNA, with the clock of like the 6 hours. And then, now you walk in Sephora and there is like, they're required to have a launch anything, that there is like BNAs everywhere. So yeah, it was definitely like a lot of learning curves and a lot of Googling and figuring things out, because, even like just launching a brand, there is just so much that goes into it, from IP to legal to financials to manufacturing to following operations to be able to ship to a retailer. Like, they sent me their brand guide manual, and it was like 150 pages of systems and things you have to learn to be able to ship. And if you mess up one UPC barcode or something on the claim that you messed up on the packaging or uses, you have to recall all of it. And it's like, I have $5,000 in the account. Like, I could not afford
Risk
a
it,
mistake at all. And I did not have the funds to hire or consult with people in the industry that knew what to do. So it was really just studying everything. And I think with ChatGPT now, it might have been a little helpful.
Totally.
Google was up. Well, at least without that, I don't think I would have been able to.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine like doing it without that. But I think it's so interesting to hear about all that back end stuff too, because as consumers, we just see the final product on the shelf, and sometimes we get little snippets of behind the scenes on social media and stuff like that. But you don't really get to hear like the full story too often of diving into the how everything started, the struggles, all of that. That being said, what's your biggest piece of advice for upcoming founders, especially wanting to enter the skincare and beauty space, especially because I think so much more recently it's felt like getting more and more saturated and there's so many options out there. So what's your biggest kind of piece of advice for someone wanting to enter that space?
Yeah, it's I would say it's getting really saturated. And even as a brand of our size, we had to make some shifts over the last 2 years on, especially on product development, on where we're focusing on. We, started expanding into routine based and more topical products, but we have going back and we're going back to more problem solution and really differentiate it first to market as much as possible, really improving on what's out there just because the budgets and the competition is so intense right now to launch another cleanser or moisturizer or not just another serum that you really have to spend a huge amount of money to make it stand out. I would say if you have a truly differentiated concept and brand and you're not just doing it to exit in 5 years and sell the business, and I feel like there is some stories like Rode or Drunk Elephant or many successful exit of $700 million billion. People are like, okay, I can do a cleanser and a toner and a moisturizer and a two and cute packaging and just launch and make money and then in 3 years we sell. If you're doing that, it's not gonna work. If you're solving a problem or really improving on something and it's a white space, which it could be even like something like Starface did, like it was a white space of fun people batches. And they went just on that direction. And then, of course, expanding into more people patches, but they saw a white space on that. So I think either you're solving a problem, a real problem, or you are entering a white space. I personally wouldn't just launch another brand, just launch another brand unless it's,
Like purpose.
yeah, unless there is really a differentiating point within the story or what it's addressing. I think a really successful story could be in, I would say, in the most recent years with Bioma. And they've really focused on the barrier repair piece. So, and there was a growing demand for it, but I don't feel there was a brand that really doubled down on it. There were some brands like First Aid Beauty that a moisturizer, Skin Fix, but not as a whole brand. And I think they really brought the affordable price point, the packaging, the branding was great, the messaging was clear. And they did solve something that I think a lot of consumers were looking for a brand to fix their damaged barrier and have healthy skin at an affordable price point without having too many active ingredients, which I love. Ordinaries are one of my favorite brands, but throughout the pandemic, a lot of people burned their face with peel and stuff. So I think if there is something like that, then yes, it's definitely worth. And I will not discourage anybody from doing anything ever, because I mean, everybody did not believe in my idea back then. So I would just need to really try to stand out on a 360 level, not just the products, but it has to be the branding, it has to be the messaging, it has to be the story. It has to we all come together now. Back then, it could have just been maybe you had very cute packaging and some great formulas and hope for the best. Now it's
Take it up a notch. Wow, that was very insightful answer. And I appreciate all of the wisdom you shared, but also your story and getting to know more about Peace Out and your background. Really, really inspiring. I think what you're doing is incredible. I love Peace Out and seeing the brand grow. I'm excited to, hear the future, what's coming next and everything like that. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on Loud Talk and
This
sharing.
was a great chat, and have a good weekend, and I look forward to connecting again soon.
Yeah, and I'll just say bye to everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi.